boys.
All right. Cheers. Salute.
Cheers, sir. Salute.
I got myself a Coke.
To all the friendly pills out there listening and or viewing.
To all of our pill poppers.
We love you guys.
Digging into the grandma's cupboard, you know, for those pills.
Yeah. If you guys couldn't tell, we've upgraded since last episode.
Look at what they busted out just for me for this episode.
Just for Nico. We got episode 28 here.
Nah, not just for me. For you guys, okay? For you guys.
People. For everybody.
Busted it out.
No. This is going in the garbage, okay? Right after this episode, we're throwing it all out.
Oh, yeah. Look, before we jump into anything, I know I'm fairly still new here. Second time on the pod with these boys. But look who we got on the left side here. We got Tony Soprano in the corner.
Hey, let's get it. Yeah, we got our boy Tony, a.k.a. Nico Soprano, a.k.a.
Hey, for all you people who don't know out there, not Soprano viewers, this is Tony Soprano, a.k.a. T. How you doing?
How you doing? Hey.
Well, you know, wait.
Yeah.
When I got the pilot script for the Sopranos, apparently his name was originally Tommy. Not Tony. It was Tommy. And it was Tommy Jr. for Anthony.
Really?
So I was surprised. I was like, that was a good change, though. I think Tony's a lot better than Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Tony. Tommy.
Well, you always hear me throw out the, hey, Tommy, how you doing? You know?
Welcome back, episode 28, Grandma's Pillbox. We're glad to have you all here for our inaugural good audio and video episode. Thomas and I actually filmed episode 28 a few days ago and had an awful catastrophe where we lost most of the audio footage. You guys might see some clips from that on the socials, but yeah, other than that, it was just bad and it's going to get scrapped. But today we got Mr. Nico. Let's go. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, brother. Nice to meet you, brother.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy to be here.
Bring the mic a little closer.
Yeah. Oh!
Oh!
What happened?
Maron, it's fine.
Okay, alright. Sorry, guys. Don't know my own strength. But, I'm happy to be back on the pod here with these gentlemen. You know, it's definitely a blessing to be here with these guys, you know. Known them my whole life, but basically it's just cool to be back here, you know. Second time on the podcast, not to be a broken record, but thanks for having me again, boys.
For sure, yeah, and we're hoping to have you on pretty regularly.
Yeah, for sure.
I think one of my favorite podcasts was the one we did in the backyard,
mm-hmm.
where we were just talking, like, it had a good visual, it had good topics, the flow was super good, and I think just the three of us together, like, work really
it's
well.
It's a good aesthetic, I would say.
So,
I mean,
old, tried, and true.
I've got to say, Merry Christmas, okay? This is December 26th.
Yeah, December 26th. We're filming this today. Feliz Navidad to all you Mexican viewers. Merry Christmas to all you American viewers.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Towards the end, I think.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, and for all my people who are celebrating Ukrainian Christmas, you know, kudos to you people as well.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it was kind of rough. They literally got bombs dropped on them on Christmas Eve.
We have no compassion anymore?
Yeah, I mean, those are my, you know, not maybe my cousins or anything down there, but, you know, I'm Ukrainian blood. So, like, I know, like, that's, I'm just happy to be in America, but I feel bad for my people down there who have to go through this BS of this scrutiny that they have to go through with Russia. I mean, it's actually insane, but let me not get political here because I'm not that kind of person, okay?
Hey.
Let me
get political.
Yes.
Get political.
I mean, we want
your opinions, Nico.
Look, bro, I can't really speak on it because of the simple fact that I'm not really that educated, but, like, I see certain things. Like, I don't know, Zelensky, people hate that guy. I love him. He's actually trying to help the Ukrainians, you know? I don't know, just the mindset down there. They want to fight, but people don't want them to fight because they want it just to be over. But, you know, think about that. That's your own town and or, you know, little country, so to speak, because that's your guys' home of living. So for that to be stripped away and not for any other, you know, relative countries to come to your aid, that's kind of messed up, man. Mm-hmm. That's like leaving your kid out to dry. You have a 5-year-old kid and he's on the street and nobody wants to help him.
Yeah, you know, there's like always two sides to the story, but I believe with this one, one side is always being looked at, which is coming to help Zelensky. And I'm not saying he doesn't need help, but, you know, with the corruption, I can't cite any specific examples, but, like, literally that's what everyone always brings up, how corrupt they were and how we're sending money right now. And a lot of people just think that money is just being lined up in politician, like, pockets, right, instead of actually going to go help Zelensky.
Well, yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. I mean, just government in and of itself is corrupt. So we, the people, don't really know at the end of the day where our money, where our donations are going. Only the government knows that. Or if you're a higher up, you will know because you know where your funds are going. But if not, you may as well just, you know, kick back with the rest of us because we have no fucking clue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at the end of the day, us people, we the people, we really don't know. We really don't. We think it's going to a great cause. We could be funding something that's totally off topic. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be going into something that doesn't even relate to what's going on. It could be something totally ass backwards different, you know?
I always see, like, corruption scandals with, I think when George Floyd, when that whole fiasco happened, like, they set up a GoFundMe or something.
Yeah.
And none of the money went to his family or something like that. And they just ran off with it.
Because that's an easy in for the government and or a very intelligent person to make quick money, you know? Like, again, we the people don't know where that money's going at the end of the day, unless you knew that person personally or something. That's why when I see these GoFundMe pages, you know, I kind of want to donate, but then I think to myself, wait, is this really true? Is this really where my money's going? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I at the end of the day, I don't want to be giving my money to some BS that I would never give to. Man, these mics are solid.
They're super solid. And anybody out there listening, I'm doing like gain adjusting while we're recording this because we've got a mixer now, so we're able to adjust the volume and things. So things might be a little bit you know, up and down at the beginning here, but once we get our volumes all set, I think it'll be good.
As a quick transition, let's talk about Christmas and what we got for Christmas.
Okay,
Liam, you already introduced one of the things. You got, if you want to describe anything else that you're thankful for, what you got?
Yeah, I'm just thankful that my parents are able to provide me and all my siblings with things every year. It's really a blessing that growing up, I didn't really, when you're a kid, you aren't able to comprehend everything. But as you get older, you'll like, and you're starting to get into the workforce, you're like, wow, you know, they sacrificed a lot to be able to do this. But just some pretty cool things, like this mixer was the main thing that I was looking for. Another thing that I was really wanting was this Whoop strap.
Mm-hmm.
It's
is that the sleep?
This is one of the sleep ones. This like is super good at tracking your sleep. Pardon me. I'll continue in a second.
It tracks your sleep?
So it tracks your sleep. Okay. So it's weird because it's not like a one-time purchase like an Apple Watch. It's a yearly or monthly membership that you pay, and that allows you to use their app. And their app basically gives you daily information on they call it strain, recovery, and sleep. Strain is like how high did my heart rate get for how long throughout the day, and then it gives you like a number. I think the max is like 10. You get like a 10 strain for the day. That means you were doing a lot for that day. Your heart rate was really high. You have recovery, which is based off of how well your body adapts. I think it's going off like stress levels. I'm still learning a lot about all of it, but then the main thing that I was really interested in was sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you, obviously, when you should go to sleep and how long you should sleep, when you should wake up and that thing, but it gives you a sleep score. Pardon me.
All good.
This sleep score is out of 100%, and it tells you, you know, if you're above 90%, you recovered very well for that day. If you're like 85 to 60, maybe you're just like a normal day. And if you're below that, you did not recover well, and maybe you should take like a rest day. So a lot of like high performance athletes will really like look at their Whoop strap and their numbers to determine what they should be doing for day.
Right. So they're really diving into the stats and numbers and what's really correlating to their day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the cool thing is for this, I'll show Thomas first. This is how I slept last night. I was awake for 10% of the night. I got light sleep for 32%, deep sleep
for 23%, and then REM sleep, which is like dreaming. And it's super cool because it tracks all those different times you're like entering into those different cycles while you're sleeping.
You know, when you show, while you show Nico, that reminds me of these funny memes I would see where it was this other sleep app. And
is that like hours, I'm assuming? Yeah, 2 hours. Okay.
It would record when you like snore or stuff like that. So
that's interesting, man.
If you pay for the subscription or whatever, it'll record and let you listen to whatever you say in your sleep or snore. And like
this may be a little weird, but like what if you like how it's showing you all those stats and everything, like you record yourself while you sleep, and what if you're doing certain like movements or something while you're REM sleeping, or you're light sleeping, you're moving more while you're light sleeping than you are you're REM sleeping, or maybe it's vice versa. Because you're dreaming, you're moving a lot more than you would be because you're light sleeping. Your body is trying to get to that sleep state where you're actually in a sleeper mode.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I think things like sleepwalking will only happen during light sleep.
Yeah.
And then REM stands for rapid eye movement. So if you actually set a camera on somebody while they're REM sleeping, you'll see their eyes like moving underneath their eyelids. Which is just the craziest thing when you see videos of it.
Yeah.
It's super cool. But
or like, have you ever seen somebody, I used to have my buddy Chino. Uh-huh. He used to sleep with his eyelids like almost quarter of the way open. Oh, that wow. That freaks me out, dude. Jeez. No, that freaks me out. That freaks me out, dude. Because like, I'd be, Chino, are you awake? Looks like he's awake, man. I'm like, bro, like you're freaking me out, dude. Like, just tell me if you're awake. I'm like, oh god, man. But yeah, no, that just always freaked me out because I knew at least two people who slept like that, and it's always freaked me out.
Well, now you know another one, because I sleep really weird, or at least Celia tells me that I do. There's so many funny stories with Marco. Mm-hmm. I remember I was asleep, but I was pretending to be on my phone, like in my sleep, and he was like, Thomas, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm on the phone. He's like, no, you're not. And I wake up. I'm like, holy shit. Like, in my mind, I was, like, actually scrolling or whatever on iFunny at the time. That old ass app. But even more recently, I remember I was sleeping over at Celia's. And I don't know. It was, like, at the middle of the night. And for some reason, I was sitting up. And she was like, Thomas, what are you doing? And I'm just sitting like a menace. Just, you know, just off the bed staring at the window. But I don't remember. She's like, do you remember like sitting up and I was calling your name? I'm like, no, I just slept fine.
Yeah, no, that happens to my little, excuse the voice crack. That happens to my little brother, Michael, too. He, I came into the room the other night and I gave him one of those stickers that I gave you guys. And this was actually the other morning when I had went to the dispensary. I come back after I picked up and I go into the room to give him the sticker and he wakes up. Like he opens his eyes, he looks at me and he's like, I could tell he was still half asleep, but he woke up and I gave him a sticker. I come back later because I went out with Trevor to go Christmas shopping, like last minute Christmas shopping. And I come back, I'm like, I show Michael the stickers again and I'm like, yeah, where's your sticker? He's like, oh, what sticker? I'm like, dude, I gave you a sticker earlier. You actually woke up and took it from me. And he's like, no, I didn't. I'm like, dude, it's in your bed somewhere. I'm like, you have it. He didn't believe me. I'm like, dude, go check. And he found the sticker in his bed. He really did not remember. It blows my mind, dude. I mean, I've had some stories like that too, but not, I don't think as far-fetched as that, you know? Like,
yeah. Crazy things can happen when you're like on that brink of like sleeping or not sleeping. Like, have you ever had it where you're like about to fall asleep and then maybe like you're starting to dream and then you like fall off a cliff?
Oh god.
And like right before you hit the ground you jolt away.
Yeah, dude. No, it didn't even go as far as like the cliff experience. It just almost like you're at that like light sleep mode.
Oh, yeah.
You're about to start like sleeping. Dude, mm-hmm. I hit the ground, like wake up. Like, what just happened? Like what just happened? Yeah. That hasn't happened to me since I was like a kid, but dude, it used to happen a lot. Like I remember vividly two or three times when that happened. Like when I remember my room was still blue, everything, dude. It was crazy. It was crazy. Like you just hit the bed, like you actually fell out of the sky, right? Mm. It's like, yeah, like it's, you said, like a jolt.
It's literally like that. It's crazy.
I don't know. That's weird. I've never actually like searched into that, like what that is. But That is weird. Mm-hmm. And that other people experience it is makes it even, not weird, but it makes it even more comparable or relatable because it's happened to other people, so you don't sound crazy.
Do you think when you dream or sleep that you go into like a different realm?
Okay. I seen this on Joe Rogan's podcast not that long ago.
Don't worry, we love Joe Rogan.
No, of course. Yeah, Joe Rogan's the man. But listen, they were talking about how Ari Shaffir did Salvia, yeah, right?
Yep.
Salvia. Right? And the guy made a comment like, oh, yeah, you know, and we always wonder, like, what if the realm we dream or go into is an actual real realm we're living in? Like, that to me is scary because what if it is true? What if while we think we're awake, we're actually sleeping? And when we dream while we're sleeping, we are actually awake. You know, like I believe that. I believe in some sort of definition of that for sure.
We're just a bunch of NPCs in the real world.
Hey, man,
we go in the dream world, we get to be ourselves.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? I don't dream as often as I used to. It's a very once in a blue moon thing. But when I do, it's kind of a vivid memory, but very small, if you get what I mean.
I have crazy, when I'm like you, you dream every night, but you remember only very few. And the few that I remember are so vivid. And I remember having one with you in it. Mm-hmm. We were in like this scary Transylvania castle. And I don't know what the fuck. It was like a weird obstacle course. There were spikes everywhere and you were just there for some reason. We were doing it all together. But it's crazy because it'll be months or maybe like even a year before I've talked to you and you're in my dream for some reason. And yeah. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, no, look, I used to believe into something like higher than that. Like when we were younger, I would ask kids at school, was I in your dream last night? Because you were in my dream. Like, I'm not kidding, bro. And there was a few kids, dude, like Marco being one of them. And I don't know if Marco is bullshitting, but dude, like we like, bro, I think it was like seventh grade, man. I thought I could be in other people's dreams. I swear to God, I really believed I could be in other people's dreams. Like we would come to school, talk about it. Yeah, dude, I'm gonna go to bed at this time tonight. We're gonna link up in our dream. Like, I swear to God, dude. And that's really how it worked for me and a few of my friends. And for some odd reason, it worked sometimes. Like, we would say, yeah, dude, I saw you in my dream last night. Like, I think it's because of the simple fact that we're thinking or of that person or there's a piece of our consciousness that has a memory stored that it's uploading into our neural system when we go to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I feel kind of weird, like, like trying to sound, like, all doctory about it. But, no, it's...
But, I mean... What you're talking about here is something you can't really put into words.
Yeah.
We don't even know the unconscious.
Yeah. Mind. And it's like we're only using 20% of our brain.
That's false. That's
or 50%. No way. Is it really false?
Well, I've heard that's just false because if you only use 20% of your brain, then you have like some disease.
No, because know, think about it. Like if you're really only using 20% of a brain, why can't you reach all those memories that you have stored in your neural cortex?
Because
why?
Like, your brain is a survival machine. It's trying to help you survive to the next day. And just like anything, you learned how to walk and then you just forgot, you know, like before you didn't even know how to walk and now you can walk and it's just something automatic. Or I learned some stupid math stuff in high school and now that's just completely gone. It's not useful for me to survive the next day and I just forget. So your brain is constantly deleting and emptying the trash bin.
That makes sense. But like because I was gonna kind of like venture off into disc golf, like how we have our forms, our stances, our puttings, like that all boils down to having muscle memory at the end of the day because you're training yourself to do that. But it's not like you're losing it because you don't play for 2-3 months and you come back and it's you get back into the flow. You know what I mean? You never really lose it.
We always find our way back to disc golf.
Yeah. Yeah. We always find our way back. I mean, at least I always will. I always will find
my
way back. Of
course, dude.
Man.
I mean, and I have not played a decent amount over the past few months. Maybe like since October, I've played twice.
Yeah.
But I feel like the moment I step out there, Maybe whether it's a snowy round or once March hits and it gets a little bit
nicer. It will
nicer.
Be a definite refresher for you. It will almost be rejuvenating in a sense because you've taken this long break to where you can come back and play for 4 or 5 months straight and you will not get tired of it because you've had this long break to where you could be missing it so much where you get back out there and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
What have I been missing?
Yeah.
You know
sure.
what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. And those bad habits that I might have been building all out the window. Now it's just, okay,
the habits you know you have, yes, and the good habits, mm-hmm, and then maybe you can point out those bad habits now, because maybe before you were so accustomed to doing it every day, now you've taken that break, you come back out, and you're like, hey, I'm kind of doing this wrong.
Yeah.
I thought I was supposed to do it this way, you know? I mean, it all boils down to me being on the tee pad in the moment, like, how is this shot going
to
play out?
For sure. And that's a real skill, being able to just stand there in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of UFC fighters will, like, meditate and train so that at any given moment, like, I'm sure you've heard of Khabib.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys. The reason he was undefeated was because every single night he was fighting, he could enter into that flow state, the zone, whatever you want to call it. He could be present in whatever he was doing, and then, okay, it's time to go.
Right.
Some guys, oh, I was having an off night. Khabib never had that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, that's what having, like, that mental strength is.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of people's downfalls come, because they mm-hmm. can't let it go.
Yeah.
Because they hold on to that mishap or that mistake, sure, and they let it build.
Oh, yes.
So when that next mistake or mishap comes,
mm-hmm,
it's only going to bring them down more because they've held on to what was happened before.
Yes.
And that's where literally the phrase living in the moment means you take life with a grain of salt, man. With whatever you're doing, you do because you want to do it, and you can let go if something wrong or something doesn't go your way, mm-hmm, you know?
And I might add, we are not experts at this, but just the fact that we're talking about and thinking about, I think, is good, because one, people who are listening are also getting into that mindset of this one thing is not like a problem. It's the long-term effect. It's, can I just forget about what happened there and move on type thing.
Yeah.
Little phone call, Nico?
No, actually, it was Drew hitting me up to grab some food. Sorry, Drew. And in a podcast right now.
Sorry, Drew.
Well, we diverged very far off from Christmas gifts, I'd like to say.
Yes.
Liam, we're just going to move on. You got some two great gifts. I'm jealous, but, you know, I'm using this mixer right with you, so.
Yeah, you are, buddy.
This is also my gift as well. Yeah. I'd like to just say I got not many gifts, but I love them all. And just how you were talking about, as when you were a child, you couldn't really appreciate what you got. You just opened them and you're, like, happy, yeah, like euphoric. But now, I honestly, when my parents ask me for gifts, I'm like, I don't really know. Just get me, like, whatever. Because, like, I got this bathrobe just because I saw The Sopranos, and I was like, I want a bathrobe, and it made me happy. Like,
yeah,
like, I think as a little kid, I probably wouldn't have been happy just getting, like, a robe. Or I got The Sopranos pilot script from Celia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, if you think about it materialistically, it's just a piece of paper, really, just a bunch of papers folded on top of each other. But it's the thought that it's a signed, you know, script, and it's one of my favorite TV shows ever, and it's the pilot episode. It's, like, the introduction of that topic.
Yeah.
It means so much to me, and I just love it. And some other things that I got. Hey, what's up? Liam was recording something, I don't know, for his stash. What has he got? Oh, I got the Lego Infinity Gauntlet from from Marvel. Celia got me one of it's like a little stand thing, and it's just like to show off the gauntlet. Oh my god, I love it. Thanos is one of my favorite superhero villains. What else did I get? I got, like, these Adidas pants, and then I got a nice sweater. And honestly, that's all I really need. I didn't need, just knowing that I've got a family, I've got a nice girlfriend, I got friends that are all healthy and living. It's just the best thing in the world for me. And I can't really, just like you were saying in the beginning, like, people got bombed on Christmas. I didn't even know that. I was really shocked when you brought
Liam
that up.
Yeah, Liam had said that. Yeah, I did not know that. I really didn't. Like I said, I'm not really educated on the whole, I don't stay up to date with this stuff, but, like, I hear about it from other people, so it just kills me, you know, that it's going on. But, yeah, go on.
But just to circle back, it's just, like, being thankful for what I got, and just happy for this holiday season that, you know, everyone's healthy.
For sure.
Really, that's all I got to say. But, Nico, tell us what you got.
I will say maybe I did get a little more than they got, but, like, you know, little things. I got a couple of these vapes from my mom. For my dad, I did get the monitor that I wanted. I got a 27GQ 40W, 40 wide. It's an LG gaming monitor. Let's see, what else did I get? I got some. I got this hoodie from my buddy at work.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, sir.
We love that.
I'm going to show you guys my shirt in a little bit here, halfway through the podcast.
Yeah, I'll show you my shirt too.
But, wait. I don't know if I want to see anything less than that, Thomas, okay? But, got this hoodie. I got, like, $100 in gaming gift cards. Let's see. I got another Rick and Morty shirt. And that's about it. I mean, that's about it. A couple gift cards, some sweatpants for my cousin. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I'm thankful, not even for the presents, man. Just like you said, thankful that all my family was there. I was able to see them. I did go see both sides of my family. So I did go see my mom's side of the family on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, I went with my dad and I saw my older brothers and my sister. So it was a great time, man. And back to what Liam and you touched on, it's actually, I appreciate Christmas more now than I did when I was a child, because the things we have are materialistic, man. They can always be taken away like that. But the times we have with our family and our friends, that is something that we will hold on to forever, you know, with whatever you believe in, you know. It's just, I appreciate this a lot more. Like, I didn't even need any gifts this year, and I would have been satisfied. You know what I'm saying? Just knowing that I was able to get my little brother a couple gifts. I was able to buy my cousins a couple of gifts. That really made me happy. That made me happy because before, like last year, I couldn't say that. I couldn't say that I was able to buy anybody a gift. But now I'm at a point in my life where I'm able to say I'm a stable man, so to speak, you know. But I'm not content with life. I want to keep going, you know. And with what disc golf brings us next year, man, I'm telling you, I'm gonna be doing some road trips. I'm gonna be doing some tournaments. I'm thinking about hitting up Idlewild, and I'm thinking about hitting up
Great
Leadstone.
Course. Yes.
Thinking about hitting Leadstone and Idlewild, man, because my buddy Larry that I played disc golf with, and I know from league, he offered me, dude. He's like, look, man, next year is gonna be awesome. Would you, so like in layman's terms, would you want to be my roadie? Would you want to come with me and go play these tournaments? That he's like, I would take you with me. And I'm like, hell yeah, dude. I would love to, man. I've never even been out of state.
Nice.
I would love to do that, bro. Go play a disc golf course somewhere nice, man. Like, even if it's just out of state, dude. Like, I don't care. It would be nice.
Yeah, but I just want to add, like, you're so right. Playing disc golf in other states other than Illinois is just so much fun. Like, my only experience was in the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, that's a great place to go, though, man.
That course, I sucked ass, but it was so much fun and such a great experience to throw down, like, a mountainside hill or, like, through a valley, and you can't even see the basket. It's just surreal, and getting those experiences is definitely going to be fun and worth it for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, I definitely want to say you're going to Michigan in a couple weeks, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to play toboggan.
Dude, toboggan?
I would love to play toboggan. Even though I know I'd probably throw a 5 or a 6 on each hole, I would love to play it, dude. Just
for
the simple fact that it's fucking awesome, man. Dude. And then the layout is insane.
You step up to every hole, you're like, wait a second, this was the one that Garrett threw like 508. Oh, this was the one that Kyle Klein threw from the... Oh, this is the one that...
Wait, Calvin threw in 300 feet from here? Holy shit. You know, it's like, oh my God.
That's the cool thing about like the high production value that places like Jomez, Gatekeeping...
Gatekeeper... what's the other one?
GK Pro,
yeah.
Is that Gatekeeper also?
Yeah, it is Gatekeeper, yeah, I'm sorry.
There's a few of them.
I know there's other ones that, like, I know Panda Disc Golf does some...
Terry Miller, Disc Golf Guy, he does some post-commentary.
Yeah, Disc Golf Guy, that's who I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, those post-commentary disc golf channels are super cool because you get like, a feel of the course, and you also get to see, like, the top-tier guys shred them. And also, like, you know, you're like, I went and played Idlewild a few times, and I was pretty much had like a YouTube video following along with them the entire time, just like seeing, okay, what did this guy throw from this shot, where do I want it to land, you know, where's the out of bounds, all that cool stuff, and you're just able to find that so easily because of those high quality YouTube channels.
Yeah, kind of off topic, but. Different scenario. I'd like to watch those videos just for the simple fact. Yeah, what did this guy throw on this hole? What is he gonna throw a roller this time? Is he gonna throw, you know, a cut roller? Is he gonna throw a sky roller? I don't know. You know, different shots, and it's like, can I match that?
Yeah, dude, learning shot shapes off the pros is super helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like any sport. Once you get, like, I'm gonna start training jiu-jitsu in May, and I've just been, like, I'm pretty into fighting sports, and I've just been watching a lot of it, and sometimes I'll roll around with my buddy. But that's also one of those sports where it's like, okay, you need someone to teach you. You need to, like, go out and do your own research to learn how to do, like, these different techniques. You can't just really, like, step up there and do it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, it's pretty, I don't know where I was going with that, but I like jiu-jitsu.
Well,
I like jiu-jitsu.
Liam brought out 4 big books. I feel like he wants to talk about them, so tell us about them.
Yeah, so I had a few different books that I was trying to get this Christmas, and I didn't really mention them earlier, but a few of them are, I'm going to school right now for marketing, and that's what, well, hopefully this would be my full-time, the dream is this sort of setup, some sort of pillbox media conglomerate is the dream, but, getting books that are good on marketing will benefit both my degree and also this. So this first one is, it's called Purple Cow. It's just a way to, like, the title is Transform Your Business by Being Remarkable. I don't really know what it entails yet, but I've heard great things about it. The next one for Joe Rogan listeners, God Sod, The Parasitic Mind, How Infectious Ideas Are Killing Common Sense. Joe did a podcast with him a few months ago. I don't know if you remember that face, Thomas.
I listened to that one.
Yeah, so this was one that I really wanted to read just because sometimes I feel like I go through the motions when it comes to major ideas or things that are going on, and I just want to be able to really take in information and build my own opinion on them, which doing this podcast has gotten that skill a lot better. Blindsight, some great marketing tools, basically how marketing shapes people's brains. There was another one I got called Influence, basically how just normal things influence people. And then one that just I think everybody should read, and I haven't read it, but I've skimmed through. It's called Atomic Habits, How to Build Habits, How to Keep Them, How to Break Bad Habits. One of the best books that I think everybody can recommend. So
I got a couple of books. Well, I got one book. It's called The Heart of Trees or something like that. And I don't know if you guys know me, but I love trees.
Yeah.
I do love trees. And currently I'm also reading Dune, which is a sci-fi novel. Nico, no, you didn't get to listen to the un-uploaded episode, but I love me some sci-fi. Like, mm-hmm. Dune is amazing. I love the universe behind it, or even something simple like Star Wars. Like, they don't really touch on amazing sci-fi concepts.
Why? I don't mean to interrupt you, but like, I definitely want to ask you this. Do you like Doctor Who?
Do I like Doctor Who? I've never watched it.
So for you to say you're a sci-fi fan and you've never watched Doctor Who?
Hey, you're gatekeeping the sci-fi, not the genre
I'm
right
just
now.
Kidding. But listen, in all reality, bro, I have to entail you that you have to watch Doctor Who. It at least from when, what's his name? Eccleston. I can't think of his first name. I think it's Christopher, but Eccleston. So it's Eccleston, Tennant, then Matt Smith, then Peter Capaldi. From Eccleston all the way up to Capaldi, dude, it just gets better.
All right, but I have to ask, because all I've seen from Doctor Who is that British telephone booth, and then it's a different...
It's a TARDIS.
The TARDIS. Is it like a time machine?
So it's a time machine. It's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. You'll hear them say it the whole show. It's always bigger on the inside than it is the outside, right? And it's crazy because they have all these switches and knobs in it, man, and it's like only the doctor knows how to control it. So and then he's got the sonic screwdriver, dude, and it changes with every doctor. It's different, man. Like I have the sonic screwdriver at home,
but what I have to tell you is I'm not just interested in, you know, entertainment sci-fi. It's more of the thoughts behind it and thinking about where you can go in the future. This outlives us way past. Maybe we'll see.
Oh, so you're talking like futuristic kind of.
Because maybe one of the most attainable things that we might see in our lifetime is genetic modification or like bioengineering, where let's just say with Elon Musk's Neuralink, that's one of those sci-fi topics where you make a human invincible, where you've lost control of your, like, you know, bottom half of your body. You put this thing into your brain and then you regain control because of this electronic receptor. It's those type of things that make me astounded to think about where the future could go and if we can even get there. Like, space travel is something touched upon on almost every sci-fi film, or a lot of sci-fi films. The Martian, Star Wars, Dune, Alien. Like, literally so many. And we're not even there yet. We're just trying to get a fucking space rocket in space so we can do a tourist, like, business venture or whatever's going on. Or trying to get to Mars and build these weird domes where you can grow lettuce in it and, like, live off of whatever fucking...
Potatoes.
Or have you seen The Martian?
No.
Oh, you gotta see. Yeah. Like, that type of thing is probably the closest... description or
Who's
Matt Damon?
Oh, okay. I think I've seen it before, but it's been a while. Oh, God, it's been a while since I've seen it.
But basically, he's on a space mission with his buds, and then he gets stranded on Mars, and he's there for hundreds of days, and it's basically about him living on there and then trying to get back, and just it touches on it so realistically without, you know, throwing in like, oh, the spacecraft just got there and now you can leave. Or, yeah. Like, it's intense and I love it. Liam, did you see that movie? I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen it a few times, and it's one of those that they mix, like, the cast is so good. The score, is that, like, the...
Yeah.
Yeah, the music choices, the score are super good. The visuals are crazy. Like, I don't know how they got those visuals so good on Mars, but then after seeing things like Avatar, you're like, whoa. The technology that they are using in the movie industry is just so advanced that they can almost, like, create those scapes that are just one-to-one realistic. But, yeah, I mean, it was one of my favorite things. It had, like, heartfelt things. It had suspense. Had a... an ending that I won't disclose in case you want to see it.
I definitely want to see it because I loved the first one and I've been waiting for this one, man. So I'm thinking next check, I'm going to go venture out on my own. Or if you guys want to tag along for a second viewing, I mean, dude, I definitely want to go see this movie.
The new Avatar?
Yeah. I mean, I was watching your guys' podcast. You guys were giving kind of spoilers, but I really didn't care because it's not going to be real until I see it.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
You didn't really give too many, like, real spoilers. You kind of just, like, broke it down. Like, yeah. I think I got down to the pod last night where you were breaking down. There was, like, three different parts to the movie.
Yeah.
And you were talking about, I think I left off on where you guys were talking about how, like, he made his own Green Beret army or, like, his own Green Beret militia, to go kill Jake Sully or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, man, dude, that movie I've been wanting to see since I seen the first trailer because I loved the first one. The first one was great.
Yeah, you have to see it. And maybe, like, pop a little Eddie or something.
Oh, dude,
you know. Like, Thomas and Celia see a lot of movies, so they're kind of experts on where to sit. I was like, oh, I've never really sat down in, like, kind of the bottom row. But we were in the very back of the bottom row. So you look up and your entire field of view is taken up by this giant IMAX screen.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the greatest experiences ever.
Yeah, because I've seen Alice in Wonderland, and this was when it first came out, right up in the front row, dude. Really? Really?
That's how I saw Rogue One.
Yeah.
Front row. I was like, oh, my neck.
Yeah, Jesus literally. It was Christ. Horrible. And in 3D, I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, dude. But the thing with 3D sometimes is that if you, like, move your head, at least for this Avatar one, you can't, like, lean your head over because then everything kind of gets all, like, out of whack.
It's, like, discombobulated almost.
So you have to, like, keep it dead on, which for, like, a 3.5-hour movie, it's, like...
kind of hard to do.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, man. Luckily, we didn't have... I think, actually... unluckily, we didn't have the recliner seats.
Mm-hmm.
If we had recliner seats, you know, you'd be able to relax, chill back.
Which theater did you guys go to?
We went to the AMC. There's two AMCs in Oak Brook Mall. We went to the one that is right next to the food court.
So you should have went to the IMAX one. Mm-hmm. That one has the recliner seats.
Is that the other one in Oak Brook?
Yeah, that's like the its own separate entity. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a part of the mall. It's like actually its own separate. Oh, like, yeah. That one has recliner seats, man. And, dude. Yeah, it's definitely makes the experience a lot more immersive because when Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness came out, I went and seen that, dude. It was fucking badass, dude.
That
fucking
movie was badass. So good.
Fucking badass, dude.
Did you see the new Spider-Man movie?
Yes. The newest one where all three of them are in there?
Yeah, I've seen that one was so good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I agree.
Thomas, did you end up seeing the new Spider-Man movie where
all three of the Spider-Mans
are in it together?
Are you talking about No Way Home?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it. I haven't seen the Andrew Garfield Spider-Mans. I didn't really care to see them. I saw some of the Peter Parker ones, like, you know, the
Tobey Maguire.
Oh. Tobey Maguire.
Peter Parker.
They're
all Peter Parker, Thomas.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. How you doing?
Close one. That was close. But
how much wood could woodchuck wood?
There we go, Nico. He upped you. But where was I going? Tobey Maguire. I've seen the Pizza Time one. Like that one's great. And then I think No Way Home just did a great job of bringing the nostalgia factor.
When I seen the Green Goblin, dude, I was like, let's go. I swear, man. Oh, dude, that was definitely a great moment in the movie.
But if I'm being honest, though, without the nostalgia factor, that movie's kind of mid because...
That I can agree on because the movie would be very mid without Andrew Garfield and or Tobey Maguire in the movie because without the nostalgia factor, even with the villains in there, it would be definitely a fucking mid movie. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what the hell you guys were talking about when I was pissing, but I put Avatar above No Way Home.
No. We were talking about how you guys were unlucky to not have the recliner seats, and I said, which one did you go to? He said, the one that's by the food court in the mall. I said, well, you got to go to the one that's its own separate entity that's in IMAX, and they have the recliner seats there. But I was just telling Liam that it makes the experience that more immersive because you're there and you can actually kick back and relax and, you know, watch the movie in your own way.
A movie to me is great when I forget about the fact that I don't have recliner seats. When we went to theaters to watch Avatar, I was like, fuck, man, this just no recliner seats. But watching the entire film, I was sitting up straight, like upright. And I was just immersed in the movie. I didn't really care that I couldn't lay back, you know. I was just...
Yeah, you know, Liam was just saying that, like, you had to keep your head straight. Otherwise, the glasses would kind of make the thing kind of crooked, so...
Yeah.
For a 3.5-hour movie, we were saying that's kind of hard. You know what I'm saying?
It is definitely hard, but I don't know if... I'm just going to reiterate myself. Yeah. Give me the 3D glasses.
Yeah, there you go.
Give me the 3D glasses.
I told Thomas on the way here, I was like, yeah, dude, you know, you were pretty funny in the last pod because you were like, yeah, man, you know, any other movie, I'm like, yeah... Give me the 3D glasses, but you know, for this movie, I was like, give me the 3D glasses. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, after he explained it to me, I was like, you know what? And just thinking about it more, and especially watching a few trailers afterwards, just not 3D. Like, even, I mean, this computer, this Mac, has a good screen, but it's just nothing compared to having like some bugs and some fish kind of like floating right in front of you with those 3D glasses. Yeah, so I definitely took a massive L on that one. But side note, dude, these mics are so nice. Being able to
they're
like,
solid, dude. Yeah, just
move them and stuff, dude.
So I gotta take a massive deuce, you know, and just hit the cut. You know what I'm saying?
So, oh yeah, Nico, just like another off topic. My like a dream that I have is I don't know if you know Steve O's podcast.
Yeah, Steve O's Wild Ride. Great.
Does it in a van.
Yeah, it's
How
great.
How crazy would it be
it's great,
if
dude.
We did Pillbox in a van?
Dude,
like
and
that.
The fact that, like, just his van is so decked out with everything that he would ever need. Dude. That's kind of, like, what gets me. It's like, dude, he doesn't need to fucking have any kind of house or anything because he can literally work on the road and live on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't think we would have a giant, like, camper van like that.
Yeah.
But it would be, like...
Something big enough for three people to sit in, have a podcast, maybe make a little lunch, you know?
Yeah, dude, like an Astro van that, you know, I cop, I refurbish it, clean it up, and just
you probably gut the back end out, and you put, like, two bench seats back there, you know what I'm saying? You gut the whole front, or the whole back end out, and you just keep the driver in the passenger seat, and you gut everything else.
Yes.
Throw some benches in there, you know, maybe some cabinets, maybe a little stove or something, or maybe even get something that comes with something like that, because you could probably find an Astroband that is custom fitted like that for something like that.
Like some hippie has like the carpet and everything.
Yeah, I mean, and literally, all you need to do is kind of gut a little back end of it, bro, and just install some seats. You're all good.
Yeah, and just, I mean, look at this. All we need is a laptop, and then we're good. We could do this anywhere.
Literally
anywhere.
You guys could pull up to my house and we could be chilling in the parking lot dabbing it up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, dude? Like, no, because I was literally going to ask you guys. I was like, dude, you guys want to come film this podcast at my house? I want to get fucking high, dude. I'm like, I'm being honest with you guys. I'm like, dude, I kind of, you know, because, you know, I can't smoke weed.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, listen. Because I asked Thomas before we came, I'm like, dude, you want to dab? Thomas is like, I appreciate the offer, man, but, you know, if I do this podcast, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had that once.
I'm like, listen, Thomas, you know what? I think I kind of feel you on that, so I'm just not going to take a dab, too.
Dude, hey, next time we record, though, I'm down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because
this is very easy to get over there.
Yeah, and for the simple fact that I thought I was going to dab up before I came, I brought eye drops, you know? Like, I want to be safe.
Yeah.
I don't want your mom to be like, you're the devil, get out of my house.
You just want to respect the household. That's
literally
all you want to do.
Yeah, no, because that was like the main reason. I was like, yeah, you know, I kind of don't want to be disrespectful and coming like, all retarded.
Nico just trips walking in through the front door.
Yeah, dude. Whoa. I'm like, oh, Merry Christmas.
oh, yeah, oh, Merry Hanukkah.
Merry Hanukkah. Oh, Happy New Year. Oh, my bad. That's still a week away. Yeah, let's talk about how my birthday is very soon.
When is it?
Elvis's birthday, January 8th.
January 8th? Let's go. Gonna be 22?
22 years old.
How does it feel, living your year?
I feel fucking old. I'm just kidding. But, no, well, man.
Wait, Nico. Let me formulate the question.
Okay.
Ever since, I remember you were excited for your 21st birthday.
Yeah.
You get to have the ability to drive, you know, by, like, be treated like an adult.
Right.
And I'm just wondering how does it feel looking at it retrospectively, the year as being 21? Is it the same as the others? Has it been nice? All that jazz.
Okay. I can break this down in a couple different ways, but I'll keep it plain and simple. Excuse me.
Little belch.
Yeah. A little belch. But
the carbonation.
Yeah, no, I will say that definitely looking at it in retrospect, man, being 21 is not all it's made up to be. It's really not, because then you're really looked at as an adult. So, for the simple fact that I have bills to pay now, and I have rent to pay, and I have to pay for where I sleep, it's definitely a slap in the face, because our parents tell us, you know, nothing is free. Nothing is free, bro. And you know me. I was not the same person I am now. I was a way different person back in the day, you know, doing all the bullshit I did. But now I look at it, dude, like, I wasted a lot of my teenage years doing the bullshit I did. You guys are set. You know, you guys have your degrees going. You guys got all that. I sadly didn't finish school. But I don't let that faze me, because I know I'm still an educated person. I know I can still talk to an educated person regardless of my degree or not. But back to your question, it's just hard, man, like, knowing that I'm 21 years old, knowing that those years are never coming back, and I'm only gonna get older. It's definitely, you know, it for you viewers, you're probably, oh, this guy's a fucking idiot, he's only 22 years old. No, dude, like, I know it's only downhill from here, if you don't make your life what it's made out to be, if you don't make it out to what you want to be. But back to your question, yes, man, 21 years old is definitely, it's not what I expected it to be, but yeah, there's some pros and cons. Like, I just talked about all the cons. The pros is that, yeah, I can go to the dispensary. I can buy cigarettes or my vape. I can, you know, go to a titty bar. I can go, hey, listen, I'm just pointing out the good things.
Bada bing.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I'll go to bada bing.
But it also sounds like you have secured, like, a good, solid job.
Yeah.
You've got, like, a good routine going.
Mm-hmm.
You're healthier. You've got, like, that passion in disc golf, and all that's grown over this entire year.
Yeah, man.
So,
yeah.
I mean, what, like, I know, like, what you just said. You were like, man, it's only downhill from here. But really, like,
but way, I also said, if you don't make your life what you want it to be.
That's
that,
true.
That was my finisher to that statement. Yeah. Because, yeah, you can say your life's going to suck, dude. You could, everyone's life sucks. In any which way you look at it, I can say your life sucks, you can say my life sucks. But in the end of the day, I can think to myself, my life doesn't fucking suck. If anything, his life sucks more because he wants to say my life sucks. You know what I'm saying? Because you can look at that person. He's just trying to make himself feel better.
Yeah, for sure.
He must really be in the place where his life sucks. He really must be in that kind of place. But like you said, I have that healthier mentality, healthier body. So I'm more of an astute person because I look at what I used to be and I'm like, ugh. You know, almost like, ugh, like who was that person?
Mm-hmm.
And for the simple fact that you said just what you said now, stable job, like I'm that really touches me, bro, because I couldn't have said that a year ago. Yeah. I couldn't have said that throughout all my teenage years. But for the fact that someone that is my I think to be my best friend says that about me, that makes me really happy. Really, yeah. It does, because that's something I could not say to myself. That's something I know that anybody else that I knew could say about me, because that's not who I was.
Yeah.
And it just, it really soothes. Oh God, I did this again. It really soothes me that I can say that, or you can say that about me, because, yeah, broken record. But yeah, man, it's just, it feels great to be at a point in life where you're stable, but not content.
Yeah,
you're not content with what's going on because you want more.
You want more. Yeah, that's how I think people should, like, well, I guess that's how it's good to live, is to always be kind of wanting more. The theory that it's good to be uncomfortable, because if you're comfortable, you're not growing.
Yeah.
It's like a real thing. It's a real thing. Thomas?
Yeah. Just
take a step out, Nico.
No, I'm gonna...
I'm just going to continue.
It's a little hot now.
Yeah, I'm just going to continue because Liam and I talked about this on episode 19, I believe, and it was just basically, we're very young. Maybe it's too much thinking that we're doing, but I really don't think there's any harm to thinking about stuff like this, where Nico is kind of being judgmental towards himself, but you kind of have to be in order to push yourself to for growth, because in that episode, we were talking about finance and stuff, and honestly, I don't know if the market's doing that great, but this doesn't relate. What am I trying to go for here? Nico, you're thinking the right things. Just keep, you know.
Yeah.
For all of us, just look back, think about where you were, where you've been, where you're going, where you are right now, and just be happy that, like you said, like you got a job now, you got money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though you've got more responsibilities, that's just what pushes you forward to keep growing.
Yeah, I mean, I just opened up my own bank account. Like, I mean, that's something that I know I couldn't have done a year ago or any previous time, because I didn't have the funds to do it. And, you know, it makes me feel a lot more like a man because I have my own debit card now. You know, I don't have a credit card yet, but I have a debit card, which means I, like, for my bank, like, you know, just to throw it out there roughly, I have to keep $1,000 in the bank account each month, or I have to have at least $1,000 deposited into there. So I don't have to keep it in there, but I have to have at least $1,000 put in there every month. So I make a little over $1,000 a month. So that it's actually a good plan for me, because I do make that, if not just about. So the plan that I got, it's working out pretty well. I mean, I just started it this month, but you know, who knows what the future entails.
There you go. What bank is it with?
It's Huntington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would say a credit card could be very beneficial for you.
Yeah.
Like, because there's some credit cards that you can open up where you don't need any sort of previous credit score or anything like that.
Yeah.
You can pretty much just go online and be like, yeah, this is how much I make, this is my social security number, this is my name, and they'll send it to you in the mail.
Yeah, because my banker was telling me, she's like, yeah, you know, basically, this is how much you make, this is the kind of account I want to set you up with. She's like, I don't want to give you a credit card right now for the simple fact that I don't have any to give you. Oh, God.
I got you. You can keep talking.
But yeah, for the simple fact I don't have any to give you, but you know, that can change, you know, once we become a more stable
customer of the bank.
Yeah, customer of the bank. So it's just that, because what hit me is that she told me credit, no credit is just as bad as bad credit. And that really that really doesn't resonate with me, because you would think if you don't have any credit that you would be just as fine, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That just, it doesn't weird me out, but, like, it's kind of, like, off-putting, like, wait, if I haven't destroyed my credit yet, how can I still have bad credit by having no credit?
Yeah, because I think as, like, a person, which the credit system is interesting because, yeah, it allows you to purchase things and own things. Okay, Thomas. Hey, gabagool. Own things that maybe you can't pay in cash right now, and you'll be set up to pay off. But it can also be something that, if not treated like with respect, could destroy you.
It can make or break you.
It really can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here, you want me to put this back a little bit, just so you can chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having a credit card, though, I'll continue where I was going a second ago. What I do personally for my credit card is I put every single expense on my credit card, and at the end of every month, I have an automatic withdrawal. Withdrawals from my bank account to pay off my credit card. Yeah. So my debit card stays in my pocket at all times. It's only my credit card that's pulling out. So then you're getting things like cash back bonuses and all that stuff. And also I'm slowly building my credit. So then when I want maybe in 2 or 3 years,
a house or a
car or something like that, I could be like, okay, my credit score is at 780. I qualify for this certain loan.
Yeah, so I can make this kind of payment throughout this many months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, finance stuff is interesting, and that's what my minor in school right now is. Just for the sole purpose of, is I wanted to learn more so that I can, like, efficiently use my money and, like, basically just, like, leverage that so I can get where I want to in life.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Yeah, it's, yeah. But, let's see. I did, it's just a completely 180. I had one question that I wanted to ask you, because I've been into, like, the kind of self-improvement. Like, I was just talking about my sleep score, how I'm interested in improving that. I was just wondering, like, what your daily routine is. Like, you wake up in the morning.
Like seriously? Like, what my daily routine is?
Yeah, just, like, are you, like, I mean, bad or good, whether or not you think it's bad or good, because, like, I'm just interested to hear it, because, like, there's some days where, like, I'll wake up and I'll just, first thing I do, look at my phone.
Yeah.
Like, but maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Maybe I should be, like, waking up and getting some water. Should I wait a little bit to drink some coffee? You know, that sort of thing. Like, I was just interested in what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes sleeping is rough for me. Yeah. So, sometimes I will not sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are really rough for me. But on a regular, you know, good sleep day, I wake up. And my phone's a piece of shit, so I have to look at my phone in the morning. Like, I have to,
because
it'll either be dead.
Oh no!
Or it'll still have some battery life on it, because, you know, you're not supposed to keep your phone on the charger. And, like, my phone has, like, a 71% peak performance, so it's at, like, 70% every time I charge it 100.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So I wake up, maybe check my phone, hit the can, you know, drain the tank, you
of
know,
course.
Maybe. Drop a deuce, whatever you gotta do.
Yes, sir. Take the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. And then I hit up.
You ever heard that?
Wait, what did you say?
I said take the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. Watch them turn around and around. But listen. Yeah. So then, you know, obviously if I'm stocked up, I'll hit up my dab cater, you know. Gotta take a nice dab. And then look for, you know, because I'm not really a breakfast person, so maybe I'll look for a snack or, you know, something that will keep me full until I either have to go into work or until I want to eat again. And then, so usually okay, so on my days of work, I'm usually up 3 hours before I have to go into work, because I don't like to wake up. I used to do that when I first started. I used to wake up like an hour before I'd have to go in. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
And I used to sleep till like 12, 1, 2 o'clock. I like to wake up with the birds now. So it's like I'm usually up 7, 8 o'clock, or latest I'm up like 10 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm. So good time. I mean, sorry, and what time do you think you're going to bed?
Like? I like to be in bed before 12 o'clock.
Mm.
Before 12 o'clock. If I'm up past 12, like I was last night,
yeah.
It was very shaky for me to make this podcast this morning. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. because I didn't know if I was going to wake up. I was up about 10 o'clock this morning, dude. Be honest with you. I was up about 10 o'clock. I didn't even have to wake up to one of my alarms. I woke up by myself. And that's usually how it goes, man. Like, yeah. I'll wake up, and it's crazy because I'll wake up before my alarm goes off, like maybe 5-10 minutes before. It's weird, right?
The body just knows.
It just knows, like, to because, like, my alarm is very, like, unpleasant. It's like, So, like, I'll like, wake up, and I'll, oh, shit, turn that alarm off. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my body, like, knows to wake up, turn that fucking alarm off before you gotta hear it, you know? Because it's so early, but... but, yeah, I go to work, and, you know, usually by the time I get off work, you know, it's usually a 6 or 9 hour shift. Get off work, I come home, usually looking for something to eat again, you know, yeah. You know, gotta fill the gut, of course. Then I usually hop on my Xbox, bro, but if we're talking when it was still nice out, I would either get off work and go play disc golf, which was in the morning, so I'd go for a morning shift, get off at about 3 o'clock, or I would close 9 o'clock at night. And I'd wake up at 7, 8 o'clock the next morning and go play for 3 hours. Damn. And then go to work.
The grind.
Yeah, no, I really like disc golf that much to where I will go play for 3 hours before I have to go work a 9-hour shift because I just like it that much. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, disc golf, there can never be too much played. At least for me. I can never.
I know that about you.
I can never play too many holes.
Literally every time I'm playing. Oh, let's play another round, man.
Yeah,
let's play
dude,
another round.
Always.
And we're on like round 5. I can't even walk. My arm is falling off. And you're like,
and
let's go for another
one. Dude, the 240-pound big fuck is like, yo, let's go run another round, dude. Like, let's go walk again. Let's go walk another 2 miles and fucking throw frisbees, you know?
20,000 steps a day over the summer.
Yeah, dude.
You probably do get a ton of steps.
Yeah, I do get a lot. I mean... Just fuck, dude. I know people who play Delwood, and they're like, dude, I cannot play again. I'm like, dude, let's run it again.
That's a tough one, dude.
Dude, I've ran Delwood twice before.
You're a madman.
Yeah, man. I've actually ran Delwood twice and went back to play Commons 3 more times. Yeah, dude. Jeez. I think the most I've played is over 100 holes in a day. Yeah.
Iron Man. Dude, I see some Iron Man tournaments where it's like 4 18-hole rounds. And I'm like, dude, how could you even do that? And then there's Nico, just doing that every single day.
Yeah, dude, I'm out here. I mean, I don't know, dude. It's never enough.
Yeah.
It's never enough for me.
Well, when it's something you love like that, it's like, man, if I find so much joy in doing this, why not keep doing it? And it's good for you.
Yeah.
It's a skill that you're working towards, so your mind is growing, Your body's growing. Yeah, I mean, I don't see any problem with it.
Yeah.
Unless you were, like, actively playing while injured or something.
Or if I was just getting out there and getting shit-faced. You know, just getting plastered, bro.
That too.
Yeah, because I know a few players who do that. I know a few players who do that.
Call them out.
No. Seth, okay. Seth, you still play great, all right?
It's still a beast.
J Camp, you're insane, but you drink? No, I'm just kidding. But, no, dude, I mean, don't get me wrong. I get plastered when I go sometimes, but I usually don't play well.
And that's usually, I mean, I feel like that's usually with the boys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I'm, like, with you guys or maybe by myself, I'll have 1 or 2 beers, and then, like, I won't keep drinking, you know?
It's the swing juice.
There you go. It's the aiming oil. You need the aiming oil.
It's the aiming oil. I mean, there's something to be said about just having a little bit just to loosen you up. Like, I mean, it's kind of like that, maybe Habib just down, like, shotguns a beer before every fight.
I'm telling you, dude.
Get him loosened up so there's no nerves.
Yeah.
Maybe he does that.
I don't see the problem in that. You know what I'm saying, dude? Just fucking shotgun a quick beer, you know?
Is that drug enhancing?
No.
Performance enhancing?
Because alcohol is legal.
Okay, but, what I don't get is, like, testing athletes for weed, so to say. Like, if they've smoked, like basketball players during the COVID bubble,
yeah.
I'm sure they were, I think I heard, like, you know, they were all smoking weed and they're like playing crazy during the COVID bubble. And I guess what, some of them would get in trouble for it. I have no specific news that I can refer to that, but like when me and Nico would go and we'd like share a joint before the round, like,
yeah.
It's probably the most fun round every time.
Yeah.
Like, for me. unless I get straight pissed off like right off the bat. But
this is true. Like I remember the one time we were at Madison Meadows and we got to like hole 9, sat down, packed up a bowl. And, dude, we were frizz-eyed, bro. And, dude, let me tell you, man, we were having a lot of fun. Like, we were getting angry, but we were just laughing, dude, because it was a fun time, dude. I love smoking weed. Yeah. I will smoke weed till I'm 90 fucking years old, dude. Whether I have to take edibles or not, dude, like, I love marijuana. It's, like, the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they've legalized it makes it that much better.
For sure. For sure. Do you think, because you said, like, one of the, like, part of your routine in the morning is to, like, rip a little dabski.
Of course.
Have you gone days without doing that?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Do you feel worse? Do you feel better? Like, what's your opinion
on
that?
So, I don't want to be, a hypocrite or, like, you know, talk bullshit here, but I suffer when there's no weed. I'm not going to lie to you. I suffer. But that's not to say that I can't go without it. Mm-hmm. I can go without it. I may be an asshole a little bit, you know, because, bro, like, for me, I like to smoke, too. It keeps me calm. I kind of feel like I have a little bit of ADHD, so it keeps me calm in the zone. Makes me, I don't know, dude, just a little more content with what's going on, because if I don't have weed, I'm, like, a little more irritable, a little more, like, off the wall, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like you don't have your coffee in the morning.
Yeah. And caffeine is just as much of a drug as, like, marijuana is.
Yeah.
And just to bounce off of that, Liquid IV has a caffeine version of it, and I just want to shout out again to Liquid IV. Please, please just send us some
Liquid
boxes.
IV. Please, we'll be getting emails soon. Please, I'm drafting them up as we speak.
Starts clicking, clicking, clicking.
Low key, though. I don't know, because, Nico, you've done some, like, accounts were trying to like grow like Rainbow Six and Disc Golf. Have you ever like sent out messages or emails to organizations looking for sponsorships? Or have you like thought about that?
I've thought about it. I've never done it. Like I know I did on Instagram because I'm a professional account. I know I did ask Jomez and Discraft to, you know, throw some sponsor out there.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. It's okay though because I didn't expect them to reach back out. But yeah, man, I would love to do some like little sponsorships or anything like that because I do have a decent amount of followers and all that. I do have a decent viewing.
Nico, while you're talking about it, do you want to shout out your Instagram?
Oh yeah, handle? It's Nico150.dg, NICO150.dg. It's my disc golf Instagram. Very, very likable. You know, you should go take a visit. Maybe drop a comment, like, follow, you know?
You know, well, we'll put it in the description just for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, guys.
To kind of segue off that, my buddy, actually, one of my roommate and one of my teammates on the Bradley team, he just got sponsored by Lone Star.
No way.
Yeah, so he I don't know if he went on their website and filled out a form or he sent an email to them or what he did, but I guess he's like a 930 rated golfer, so he's pretty good.
Yeah,
he's a good guy, and he's on the Bradley team, so he's got some experience. He plays in a lot of tournaments, but yeah, he just got signed to like Lone Star's like underground team.
That's
so
awesome.
They sent him like a package with a bunch of discs, but I feel like something like that, because companies are valuing social media presence just as much as like performance.
Yeah,
so I feel like even if you just like send out a few emails or something like that, but I mean, yeah, I can talk to you about that because that's also something I'm looking to do with the Pillbox. Is, oh, we're getting 30 views an episode. There's got to be some organization out there that will send us some sort of merch for like a shout out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how cheap is it for them to pay $5 in shipping on something that costs them cents to the dollar to manufacture?
Yeah.
To get, like, I don't know, a few people to listen to it. And also, us being a smaller podcast, that will mean so much more. So then just in our personal lives, we'll be like, yo, Nico, we just got sponsored by Via Hemp, this hemp company. You should go check them, you know, just like that sort of thing. So, yeah, anybody watching, please, Grandma's Pillbox. We're looking for sponsors right now.
Yes, any smokes, any kind of wraps, I will roll it up in the episode. I'll do whatever, man. Like, you guys,
if you send Nico
it.
Anything, he'll wrap it up, okay?
There you go. There you go. But
we'll produce like a high-quality video of Nico doing like a wrap job. And
telling
we'll like
you,
we'll,
taking
we'll,
a nice fat dab.
Oh, yes.
I'm telling you.
I want to go back. You said, like, what, you kind of have, like, ADHD and, like, the weed helps you, what, focus in a sense?
Almost, like, be, like, calm. Like, whereas I'm, like, you know, trying to, like, be everywhere at once, I can smoke a little weed and I can just be two or three places at once, if that makes sense.
I don't want to go too deep into this, but lately I feel like I have mild ADHD. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in class one time and I was describing to one of my classmates how I just couldn't focus or bring myself to focus to do this one assignment, and then I was able to crunch it out or something like that, and then she just threw it out there. It's like, oh, do you think you have ADHD? I'm like, what? And then, like, since that, like, comment, I'm, like, I guess being hyper, like, analyzing.
Hypertensive disorder, that's what it is.
What?
Yeah.
The fuck?
It's, like, hyperactive disorder, ADHD.
Oh.
Attention deficit hyperactive disorder.
Well, like, I'm not saying I have anything. I just think these mild symptoms, like, to think about with weed.
Yeah.
I think about it sometimes, like, the meds. Like, I took my meds, and now I feel really stupid sometimes when I, like, smoke weed, which is why I didn't want to do it for the podcast. Like, my brain really slows down and tries to focus on one thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. When you brought that up, that's just what I thought about, like...
Yeah, no,
I don't know if you want to touch any further on that or something. What?
Well, no,
what's wrong with the vent?
No, it's hot. I was wondering, like, because this whole basement used to be really cold, and then I think my parents got it sealed or something, so now it's just, like, you know, nice and warm down here.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Which is nice, but it's also, like, damn.
Kinda, yeah, I'm, like, sweating on the back here. And
yeah. Hey, sorry, we got some disinfectant.
Like a fucking gym. You know,
dude,
like
low-key, though, that's, like, the perfect seat.
Low-key, once Nico leaves, I'm going to...
Oh, wait, what? Oh. Jesus, Thomas.
Okay, all right. Nico, with you coming on the podcast, I wanted to ask you maybe, like, two deep questions and just hear what you think. Because you said when you were talking to me, like, damn, Thomas, like, you're talking with Liam about all this shit and we never talk about it. Well, let's talk about it, okay?
Okay.
And I want to start off first with... do you think aliens exist, or, as another add-on, like, is there life out there in space?
Well, that's a good question. Yes, I do believe there are extraterrestrial beings. How do you explain all these crop circles and there's just this phenomenon that goes on around the world? Some of the stories of people being captured by aliens, it's like, how can you make something like that up? And for, like, I don't know, just for you to actually go on your whole life believing you told that story, like, I don't know, some people can live with it, but I just don't know if I could. So, me being the believer I am, yeah, I believe some people. And to touch on, is there life in, like, space? Yes. Maybe not in this galaxy, but somewhere far out there, far, far away, there's life, I believe.
Like, it's absurd to think how huge... Not only our universe, you know,
space,
like just like one of my friends told me when we were like smoking out in the back, we were thinking about space, and he's like, you know, it all exists and it makes no sense. Like these random conglomerations of rock are just hurtling in this black empty box, and somehow it all just works where there's these hydrogen and metal stars that just like. Just fusion happening where it gives off all this energy, and then you have these random rocks that somehow end up in orbit, and then Earth got hit with ice and like these carbon asteroids, and somehow we formed from these single-celled bacteria to now where we're talking about some bullshit on a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me how you can't believe that there has to be another timeline out there where the same thing is happening and
yeah,
all of that.
I totally believe that, man. And I don't know. We'll never know until we venture out And but like that almost, it's almost as astounding as we don't even know what the fuck's at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, we know more about space than we know down there.
That's what I'm saying, dude. The ocean is really what picks at my fucking brain, dude. We don't even know fucking probably 75% of the creatures that are down there, dude. And we haven't even hit the fucking bottom of the ocean. That just shows you how fucking crazy Earth is, dude. Like, how deep does it go? How deep does the fucking ocean go? We do not know.
Like, how high you fly in an airplane? Like, the Mariana Trench is deeper than that.
Right. That's what I'm saying, dude. That's insane, bro. Like, what kind of creatures are living at the pitch black bottom of the fucking ocean?
I want to ask, do you think you've ever had a alien encounter or like a UFO sighting?
Nay.
Nay? May I tell you a story?
Go for it.
Okay, so Celia and I were chilling out in my backyard, just having a campfire. It's during the summer, and we were just chilling. Like, we had nothing else to do. Let's just start a fire. And there's an airplane flying above us. This is during the nighttime, and it's decently far away. Like, it looks small, you know, and you just hear, like, it's flying over us. I heard it. I look up, and I swear, like, oh, the airplane's out of my peripheral, and I see a blue light appear in the sky, and it's just there, and it's moving a little bit forward, and it kind of jolts, and then it's gone. And just that alone, I was like, what did I just see? But as an added thing on top of that is I heard like a whooshing noise that was distinct from the airplane. So you hear, and then at the same time I'm seeing this blue light, it's, you hear like the woo, 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 like, not like a UFO, like a, yeah, stereotypical UFO, like wah, 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 but you know, just I noticed
a distinct sound.
Like, I know, like, okay, I hear the airplane, and then I hear something else going on, and it's not a lawnmower, it's not a car, because as soon as the blue light disappeared, the noise went away. And how likely is it that like a car is going to sync up to me looking at that blue light disappear? And I looked at it. I was like, what was that? I look at Celia, and I saw that she was looking up too. I'm like, did you see anything? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, did you see like a blue light appear and disappear? She's like, yeah. I'm like, did you hear that noise too? She's like, yeah. So, and I was astounded to see something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I will say I was playing disc golf one night.
So you did have an encounter. You lied to me.
Yeah, I will say, because like, I don't know if it's actually,
so maybe the neurons weren't fully connected. Well, no, because but now just sparking that up. Now,
I don't know if it's an actual UFO encounter. So we were playing disc golf and it was nighttime, and we were on hole two, and
at I don't the know, comments.
Yeah, for some reason we're like looking up, and we see this like bright white light, right? But like far. Like, it's out of Earth's orbit, dude. It's far. And it's moving this fast. It's moving this fast. Like, it's going this fast. Not, a plane does not go this fast, dude. Yeah. It was bright as fuck, dude. And it was just going so fast across the Earth. And I'm like, what the fuck is that, guys? And they're like, oh, that's the satellite that, you know, orbits Earth for, and it orbits Earth within, like, 2 minutes. I'm like, that is bullshit. That is the biggest bullshit I've ever fucking heard, dude. I'm like, there's no way a fucking satellite can cross or orbit Earth in 2 minutes. It's not moving that fast. Earth is moving that fast. That fucking satellite would be burnt to a fucking crisp, dude. There's no way. So in my mind, I'm like, what the fuck is that? I it could have been a UFO, dude. Like, there's nothing in the sky that moves that fast. Only a plane or a jet can move that fast, and it wasn't that. Was not that. It was just a very distinct bright white light that you don't see on a plane. You see a white plane on a plane, but not this bright and or distinct moving that fast.
Have you seen the film Nope?
No.
Okay. Nope. Well, nope. It's a Jordan Peele film, and basically about this person seeing what they believe is a UFO, but it turns out to be something else. I don't know. I honestly loved the film. Some people were expecting like horror Jordan Peele and were disappointed. So I don't know if you want me to spoil it.
Go ahead. I'll probably never watch it.
It's a they think it's a UFO, but it turns out that it's this weird alien being that can transform into a cloud. So it disguises itself in the sky, and then during night it flies out and it turns into what looks like a UFO, but that's just how its body looks like, and it creates a vacuum, so then it sucks up anything that's below it. So that's like, if there's a cow, you know, it's like, I'm hungry, and then like, yeah, instead of that stereotypical UFO like beaming up into the building, it's, or whatever, it's like a vacuum and it's going into its mouth and it's eating the cow and shit. And that just makes me think, it's like one of those other sci-fi concepts where I think like the possibilities are endless. Like, what if there is a cloud being out there that we just can't pick out?
Yeah.
And, you know, these crop circles, like maybe it's just running around making these weird symbols so other alien beings that are hiding on Earth can know
that it's them there.
Yeah. And, you know, like, everything's got an explanation for it. You just got to go find it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Liam, comments?
Anything? We covered this a little bit, and it's unfortunate because we might have lost all that footage, but the one of the main things that we brought up in last episode was that, given in the Milky Way, which if you think about like how vast the universe is, there's different like galaxies. So we're in the Milky Way. There's other things. We probably would never be able to reach one of these other galaxies just because it's too far. We'd all die off. It would take millions of years to get to these other things. But the fact that in the Milky Way alone, there's the possibility of a large amount of these planets that are similar to Earth, they could be similar size, and they could also bear these civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard to, like, knowing that, it's hard to be like, okay, there's no way that there's nothing out there. But then also, just for the fact that, and Thomas and I talked about this, if you don't see something, it's hard to, like, confirm that it's real.
Yeah.
You're kind of in the middle of that zone where it's like, okay, there's a possibility that it's out there, but I've never seen it. So you're kind of floating in that middle of the zone where it's like, okay, I believe, but to what extent is it really out there, and how much am I just hoping? So, I mean, that's kind of like, after our conversation, that's kind of where I'm sitting at right now. But because of, I guess, just sorry, who I am, I think I'm hoping that there's something out there.
Right.
Yeah, but there was something called the Fermi paradox, which I think Thomas can explain a little bit better than me if you want to bring it up real quick.
All these concepts, we can just have another episode with Niku on and just discuss it. But yeah. to put it in layman's terms, it's just the universe is so huge, how could there not be life besides us in it?
Yeah.
You know, and the paradox about it is that no matter how big the universe gets, it can be infinity big, which it is, and it doesn't change the fact that the chance for life to occur is still, like, small. No matter how big you get, like, it could, our universe could be just our solar system, or the entire Milky Way, or even fucking different parallel universes, and the chance for life to form is still the same amount. Like, it's so little, and that's the paradox. It's like, your way of thinking of something so vast must have life in it, but that's the paradox where, you know, the life, it just is very rare.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things, and there's solutions to it. There's theories.
The Drake equation.
The Drake equation. It's a little boring to describe right now, but
yeah.
But like,
basically the Drake equation is just, it's a bunch of variables that you put together. And, you know, like a normal math equation, say it's like y equals mx plus b. Is there life out there? Is that right, Thomas?
The what?
The N in the Drake equation. Like,
oh, just equals the number of civilizations.
Yeah. Number of civilizations out there. And then you've got all these variables. And, like, each variable is, you're kind of, like, working your way down, smaller and smaller. Okay.
I just want to try to sum it up quickly so we're not wasting our breath. You go from how many stars there are, because you can't have life unless you have energy. The star provides energy. How many of those stars have planets that are in that habitable zone? So, like, if you're too far out, it's going to be fucking freezing. If you're too close, you're burning your skin off. And then how many of those planets have conditions that, you know, life can actually live? Like, is there water on that planet, or is it just a desert?
Yeah.
And then you go from there, and it just keeps going further. It's like, how many of those planets actually have life surviving on it? And then how many of those planets have civilizations that that can create technology where you can even notice them? Because this equation is like an answer to that paradox that I described, which is like, why can't we see life out there? And it's like, maybe not even a lot of them make technology good enough where we can notice what's happening. And right. Then the last part of the equation is L, which is the length of time that they have this technology. And if it's super small, maybe they like destroyed themselves. Like they just set off nukes like we might someday. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
I don't even know if that's wood.
Yeah, it's probably like some IKEA wood.
Okay, IKEA wood, save humanity.
Save humanity, please.
But that's basically it. It's like describing in a mathematical way why we don't see life out there.
Right.
It's super interesting. Like, I think the best way to consume that sort of stuff is just watch YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Thomas has got a guy that explains a bunch of like, really, is it more of like a storytelling or is it like, it's just like a video.
It's. I would say it's like short form podcasts where it's 30 minutes on a certain sci-fi topic and he just delves into like what it's about, what it can be about.
Yeah, just to touch on that, my older brother Jason, he's really into all that like Area 51 stuff. Like we were having a very in-depth conversation about it, how the one guy who was there, I don't know if he like threatened to go public or something, but he was killed in his home like 2 days after.
Wow.
Yeah, like because he wanted to go public about it and the government did not want that to happen because, I don't know, my brother was basically telling me that the government made a deal with the aliens, basically saying that the aliens can, you know, accompany this Earth, like they can live on this Earth and study us as long as they bring us their technology, like alien technology, to allow us, like basically the government said, we want to study your shit, so give us your shit, and we'll give you ours. We'll let you inhabit this Earth if you let us take your technology too. We'll let you study how we live if we can study how you live. Basically,
you know, that's a very bold conspiracy. I believe. I think if aliens,
interesting.
You know, we got these free mics and all, but, you know, not,
the stands are
not perfect, but we work with what we got, as always.
Yeah, that's good.
Or what if you scoot the chair forward a little bit?
Liam is staging Nico, telling him what to do, telling our guests what to do.
By the way, there is, yeah. If you could just go through that door to the right and go straight.
Good.
Should be a bathroom right there.
All right, so now
I'll hop in Nico's spot real quick.
Okay, well, let's not continue that conversation. How do you feel about these mics?
Dude, these things are so nice. Oh, I love
them.
It
makes it feel a fit, like with when we just had the phone audio, it kind of still felt, I can't say fake for real, but mm-hmm. You know, with these mics in my fucking face, it feels like, yeah, I'm actually talking into a computer and it's going to be heard.
Yeah, you don't have that like imposter type feeling.
Imposter syndrome?
Yeah. I deal with that a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Imposter syndrome. Like, I'll be at work and I'll be like, I just sat through a meeting on this super high, like, advanced business. Like, we're putting in like a new software that's basically gonna. It's like a customer relationship thing, so we're able to track our customers a little bit better, and it's gonna cost us like a couple hundred thousand dollars to do.
Jeez.
It. And the actual business that we're focusing it on is our online like e-commerce parts business, which is like a $30 million business a year. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, what?
You're dealing with all this money.
Dude, I'm like, luckily I'm not like, my hand isn't actually touching it, but there's so much of this stuff that like even going through college, going through like business school and all that stuff, you really need to do internships or else you're not going to be able to put experiences to the concepts that you're learning.
Yeah, I mean, that as always.
Yeah.
I wanted to say this when Nico said he couldn't like graduate. I just wanted to splurt out like education is a scam.
Same here, kind of.
It basically is.
Cause like Nico, he's eloquent. He's got a good amount of like charisma, confidence. so he can hold his own in a conversation.
My phone?
Yeah. So I think we should probably wrap it up here soon.
Yeah. I got work here soon anyways.
When you got work?
3:15.
Work. Nico's got work at 3:15.
What time is it?
2:40.
2:40. Okay. Sure. So
yeah, let's.
You know, no. We wanted to talk about a crap load of stuff. And Nico, thank you for joining the podcast.
Of course.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Nico. Yeah,
happy to be here, boys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You know, honorary handshake.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 28 or 29. Not sure what we'll...
28.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Drop a like, comment. Tell us what you think about Nico. Please say you love him so we can bring him back.
Please. I'd love to be back again.
Either way, he'll be back. All right.
Love you guys. Bye.